you go. I'm bad about that. So, yeah, we're going to take turning to Matthew verse 26, or chapter 26, and I'll be looking at verse 26. But I want to look at the institution of the Lord's Supper. We've looked at scriptures before and we've considered this, but I want us to look at this verse of scripture again. The scripture says in Matthew 26, verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body." Now, this glorious ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I want us to just look for a few minutes at what was truly being set forth. We do this. Let's hear what the Spirit of God has to say about the Lord's Supper. The scripture says in verse 17 of Matthew 26, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" Now, here we've got the account of the Lord Jesus keeping the Passover. Now, he was made under the law, made of a woman, made under the law. What does that mean? He came and submitted himself to all the ordinances, all of the law. He submitted himself to all of the law. And this submission under the law, what he was doing was obeying the law of God in the earning of the righteousness that is imputed to all that believe. Now, when we talk about the imputed righteousness of Christ, what we're talking about is that he, as the man, Christ Jesus, the man, the Son of Man, he obeyed God in every point, every jot, every tittle, every infraction. You look at when you write the Hebrew, and I look at these little symbols, and I look at them, and just some of them just might, there might be just one little different, one little hyphen or something like that, just a little, and it gives a different meaning of that word, and every thing that was demanded, everything that was written in the law of God, he submitted himself. Now, the Passover was that time in the land of Egypt. That was that time that the Lord was going to deliver Israel out of Egypt. And you remember the last of the plagues. God is going to send the last plague, and he's telling Moses now, Pharaoh's going to let the people go. Tonight I'm going to come through, and I'm going to kill the firstborn, men, animals. I'm going to come to the land. Now I want you to tell the people, you take a lamb, and you kill this lamb, and you take the blood of this lamb, and you put it on the lintel, the doorpost. And when I come through, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. I'll pass over you. Now that ordinance, that obedience to that command was what they celebrated. Every year they were celebrating the Passover. That time when God came through and saw the blood on the doors of the people of Israel, and where that blood was, he spared them. There was that picture and that type of the Lord Jesus Christ shedding his blood, covering that atonement. And where that blood was not found, there was death in that family. So here they are. Every year, they're going to be. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Now, the Lord knew that the time of his death had arrived. You know how often we read in the scriptures where they came to take him and his time was not yet. But now the time, according to the eternal counsel and pleasure and goodwill of the Father, the Lord instructs his disciples. He said, now you go to this certain man, a man that I'm going to send you to. And you tell him that I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Notice the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. God speaks, and it is. He doesn't beg, but rather he sends them with authority. You tell them that I will. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. When his Spirit comes to a vessel of his mercy, he speaks, and that heart, made willing in the day of God's power, submits. He told Noah, come into the ark. What did Noah do? He came to the ark. When the Lord bids, men come. He bids in power. He's not denied, but rather he comes in saving grace. And that new heart of his creation bows to his voice. And the disciples, verse 19, did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now there's, again, no hesitation in his disciples. They did as they were bid. And the Lord Jesus said concerning his own, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Christians hear. They recognize the voice of the shepherd. When it says they hear my voice, you know, when you speak to somebody, your voice has a specific sound. The sound of your voice. Now, we could all get up and repeat the same sentence. And also, I said, all right, everybody, I'm going to get everybody up and say, today is Wednesday. I want everybody to say that individually. Well, you know, and you can listen to somebody say that, and when you know, Barron, when you'd say it, I'd say, well, okay, that's Barron. That's Barron's voice. That's David's voice. I recognize that voice. Now, here's the amazing thing about a believer. No believer in this room tonight has ever physically, like you're hearing my voice right now with this ear, you're hearing it. No believer has ever actually heard the voice, the man voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a hearing. There is a hearing ear and a seeing eye, and it's the new heart. There's a way they you hear it, and when you hear it, it's consistent. It's the voice of the Master. They recognize it. That's what I'm getting at. You recognize the voice. And it's the voice that's consistent with these scriptures. It says that which you know in your heart, taught by the Spirit of God to be so. And they know that voice to be the voice of Him who loves them. That's my Master's voice. That's the Savior, that's the Redeemer's That's the voice of my husband. And they yield to it. They read it. You can read the scriptures. And in your heart, you hear him speaking. And they seek to be led by him. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them in grace. I know them as those given to me in electing mercy by my Father. I know who they are. I know my sheep. He knows where they are. And they follow me. Every believer has that struggle. I agree with that old man, two men. That old carnal man that rebels, but there's a new man. I want to where you are. I want to follow you. What believer doesn't truly, in that new heart, want to follow the Master? I want to do that which is right. I want to do that which is pleasing. I want to follow after him. Is there a believer in here that doesn't have a desire to follow after the Master? No, there's no believer in here that is separated from a heart that longs for him. I want to be where he is. And when the even, verse 20, was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, now listen to this, they're eating the Passover. And while they're eating, he's eating with them. They're eating, he's eating. And as they did eat, he says, verily, truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now, the Lord is God. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows that which shall befall himself while he's there. He orders all things after the counsel of his own will. All power is given unto him, heaven and earth, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. And he knew that before the foundation of the world, he knew this was his lot. He came into this world as the Lamb of God to what? To give himself. Remember when Isaac was going with Abraham, his daddy, and they were going up on the hill, they're going to go worship God. That's what Abraham said. Son says, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb. And here's the lamb provided. Here's the one who is submitted to the will of the Father. And he knew that he was going to be forsaken. He knew that. That it was prophesied. Hold your place and turn to Psalm 55:12. Psalm 55:12. He knew that he was going to be forsaken. But he knew also that it was going to be one within that inner circle of his chosen. He knew that. Listen to this, Psalm 55:12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, mine guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick to hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. The Lord is saying, it wasn't one that I didn't know. He chose 12 apostles. There were only 12. 12 men. And he said, one of you is the devil. But here he's got the 12 are sitting there. And they're eating the Passover together. And he tells them, one of you is going to forsake me, deny me. Now the Lord was going to give himself into the hands of wicked men. He would willingly go to the cross of Calvary. He was going to be made sin. He was going to suffer the penalty of the broken law, that law that was broken by his sheep, the sheep of his affection. He's going to pay the price of redemption. He's going to pay for the debt of his bride. And he's going to do all these things according to the means of God's choosing. How is that? He's going to be forsaken by one of his own. Verse 22 says they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? They were truly troubled to hear that their master was going to be betrayed. But what troubled them most was to hear that it was going to be one of them that did it. Now, if he would have said, I'm going to be betrayed by the Jews, well, we figured that. They've been nothing but trouble from the time that you've started your ministry. If it's going to be one of the world, if it's going to be what, you know, but one of us, one of the 12, every one of those men except one knew and felt something of the frailty of their flesh. They knew something of the tendency of that old man that was there. And here was the Lord saying that one of you is going to do something that 11 of them had not even considered. Betraying the Lord. There were 11 among that group that considered, though I have never thought about betraying him, I wouldn't put it past myself. That's what they're saying. I wouldn't put it past me. I know that there's an old man in me. But they never suspected Judas. Not one of them said, well, if it's going to be one of us, I guarantee you it's Judas. He's been acting real strange lately. That man Judas, he was one of the chosen preachers. He was one that heard the gospel from the mouth of the Lord, just like the other 11. He was a trusted officer in the group. He was the treasurer. He held the bag. They trusted him. They trusted him. They trusted him with the money, the finances. They trusted him. They trusted him in the pulpit. I don't doubt that there were many things that he did, just like all the other 11. They never suspected. But prior to that revelation of the Lord, there were some that just never considered. It's our Lord had mentioned he's going to the cross, but he's going, you're saying that one of us? We all would do well to take heed to ourselves and consider ourselves liable to anything that the Lord doesn't keep us from. I've heard people say, I would never do that. Oh my, my. You'd never do that? I think Scripture bears a difference. True disciples will always be jealous and watchful over themselves with godly jealousy, especially in trying times. Be careful, be careful, be careful. We don't know how weak we are. We don't realize how strongly that we can be tempted or how far God may allow us to go. Therefore, we have no reason to be high-minded, but rather fear, lest we be taken in a fault. Lord, is it me? If I'm the one, I wouldn't put it past me. Lord, if you don't keep me, I'll do it. Lord, if you don't keep me. Verse 23, 24, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. The traitor was a familiar friend. It's also said in Psalm 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. The Lord told him, one of you that's sitting right here with me right now, been with me 3.5 years, beheld the miracles, and now you're going to turn me over, going to betray me. And the way he was going to betray him, you know how he was going to be, with a kiss. Now this is the way of false religion. It's always under the guise of love. Under the guise of love. Judas had just, and look at verse 14 of the chapter we're in right now. He's already been to the chief priest before this time. Look at verse 14, 15. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said to them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. After this supper, they're going to go out, and he's going to go to the garden, Garden of Gethsemane, Garden of Agony, Garden of Sweat, blood. And Judas is going to come up to him, and he's going to give him a kiss. That's the sign. That's the sign. Always under the guise of love. One of you is going to betray me. And the Lord said, he said that it, the Son of Man, it goeth as it is written of him. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to suffer humiliation. He's going to die on the cross. It's going to happen. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Almighty God has set forth, this is the way it's going to be. And here's this man that had seen the Lord heal the sick and give sight to the blind and feed thousands with a few fish and some loaves of bread. And he's going to be the traitor. And he's witnessed this. And the Lord said to him, one of you is going to betray him. And Judas knew it was him. He's already covenanted with the chief of the Jews. And the scripture says, as they were eating, no, I'm sorry, verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, hadn't done it yet openly, but he's already covenanted. He's already betrayed him. He just hadn't followed through with it. Answered and said, Master, now listen to this. Is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. Judas, all the others were asking, is it I? Is it I? Now if Judas don't say something, they're going to know. So he says, possibly, to avoid coming under suspicion of the others by silence, Master, is it I? He knew it was himself, but oh, how the old man is quick to justify itself before men. Put on a good face. Judas knew, at least in his head, you know, men know God is God. They, you know, but he never deviated from his rebellion. Now here's the Lord speaking. When the Lord said, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Don't you think that that word right there would have struck fear? The Lord who healed all these people, who fed those people, made blind see, you know, walked on the water, and said, he's God. He's God. They've seen it, the evidence of it. And for him to say, the Son of Man goeth as it's written of him, but woe unto that. Do you know what he was saying? Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. That man's going to hell. He's going to be under the judgment of God. Do you know what it's going to take for a man to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's going to take more than just the natural hearing of this right here. God's going to have to give me a new heart. I'm going to have to be made alive. That word of our precious Savior fell on a dead, cold, rebellious heart. And it did not make any difference to him. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, we behold the institution of this gospel ordinance of the Lord's Supper. The Lord and his disciples had just eaten of the Passover, that remembrance of when God passed over, through in all the pictures and types that Passover set forth, the picture and types, and now he's going to institute what we're about to do right here. And he said, "Now this is what all of that pictured." He said, "It pictures me." He said, "I was spoken of." He said, he's going to take that bread, and he took that bread, and the scripture says that he took that bread and he broke it. He break it. He blessed it. Or pronounced a blessing of a good pleasure of God upon the one that bread set forth. He took that bread and he blessed it. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." The Father blessed him. He blessed him. And this is what Christ did. He took that bread and he blessed it. And he's speaking of himself. He's blessed of the Father. And he broke it. And when he broke that bread, what he was saying, that he said, "This is me. This is my body that is going to suffer the scourging and the thorns and the nails and the spear. My body's going to be broken." And he gave it to his disciples. John 13:27 reveals that even Judas was given the sop. And as soon as the Lord gave him the sop, the scripture says that Satan entered into him, and Judas went out to do quickly that which he had purpose to do. And he ate of that bread. He ate of that bread just like the other 11 did. And he died in his sins. Life is not in this ordinance right here. Life is not in this ordinance. Life is not in baptism. Life is in Christ. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a picture. This is a remembrance. The Lord told us, "You do this in remembrance of me." And what we're doing tonight, we're doing exactly what he commanded us to do. He took bread. He blessed it. He's the blessed Lamb, the blessed Redeemer. And he break it. "This is what I'm going to give my life for you." And he gave it to his disciples. And then he told them, he said, this is my body. They were eating. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples, take, eat all of this. Took the cup, gave thanks, drink all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament. This is my blood of that everlasting covenant of grace that was made for you. That covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit for a people of God's choosing. That covenant whereby he said, I've come into this world to lay down my life for the sheep. And this is what we're remembering, the blood of that New Testament, that covenant of grace. He said, this is my blood, which confirms the surety of that covenant. What God has promised, Christ procured by the shedding of his own blood. And the scripture says in verses 29 and 30, latter part of verse 20, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. For many, not for all, but for many. And I looked just that word many up. You always do well to do that. It says, a large part of mankind. That's the definition. Many. A large part of mankind. This is my blood, which is shed for many, for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. And then in verse 29 and 30, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. This was going to be the only supper that he was going to physically eat with them. Spiritually, he would be with them every time. We know the Lord's here tonight. He said he was here. Two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, I am in the midst of you. And the same Lord Jesus that sat with his disciples on that evening right there is here tonight. And as we partake of these elements that he's instructed us to partake, we do so in remembrance and thanksgiving unto him. And I pray that as we do, just a minute, we'll pass them out and we'll do like we always do. But having heard what the scriptures say concerning the institution of this, what happened on that night of that supper, may we remember that if we know him in saving grace, it's by his grace and by his mercy that he's shown us to have a heart to remember it and be thankful for that which God's been pleased to, eternally pleased to do for us. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake, for our good. Amen. All right, if you two go.